Welcome back. We are now in our final session of this mini course. We are going to think about growing up. What does it look like to disciple children with neurodiversity who are now growing and changing, maybe at different rates than other kids, maybe in different ways? And how do we disciple them through these times of transition? If we think about the fact that transition and change could be very, very difficult for them, how do we navigate those things together with them? And so let's think about a couple of things here. We're thinking about the changing needs for support. That is, that these kids are growing, right? So they're changing in some ways, but maybe not changing in others. Think about this, that growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. Now, that might seem like a fun quote when you first read it, and there are some of us who resist growing up, and we enjoy sort of childlikeness, and in fact, Christ told us to have childlike faith. But that's not the same as childishness, which I think a lot of us mean when we say we don't actually want to grow up, but we just keep growing older. Now, we can think about that in a fun way, but what about for those children for whom their bodies will grow up? They will get bigger. They will get older. Their bodies will change. Puberty will hit, right? And things like that. But developmentally, there are things that are not going to continue to grow and change. What does that mean for these children? Let's think about that for a moment. And I want to just acknowledge that there is lamenting that may happen for the family, for parents, possibly even for the child. There is a time of grieving that we need to acknowledge at times. Now, as we think about that, noticing that other children may be hitting those milestones of growth and development, maybe they have words at this age and this child does not. They can tie their shoes. They can cook their own food. They can care for other siblings. They can do various chores, take care of animals. Maybe they can feed others. They can run really fast. They can win awards for doing things. They win competitions, things like that. They might go to dances. They might have lots of friends. They might gain more independence and move away from parents, maybe relying more and more on people like pastors and youth leaders and their peers for the information about what they should know about the world and how to navigate it, and less on parents. And maybe there's a child who's watching their friends or their siblings do all of these things, and perhaps their younger siblings are surpassing them. So things like toilet training, again, shoe tying, or feeding themselves, or cooking for themselves, or being able to go places alone and navigate streets and directions and things like that. What about those children who continue to stay home, to need a parent's support for those things, or someone else to do things for them? And that might be in areas of mobility, that might be in areas of processing information that they hear, it might be in understanding the social relationships around them. It could be in so many different ways. But what happens as we notice opportunities that this child may not have that other children do, right? There is a process of grieving. Now, as we think about that, some parents may grieve that at the time of birth when they know that something has happened. So think back to that video at the onset of this mini course, right? Of when you find out about an area of difference, and if that happened before birth or at birth or after birth, that can change that time when grieving may happen for that parent. And if it is an area of challenge that comes on to a child as they grow, perhaps a traumatic injury or some other trauma in their experience has caused them to sort of stop developing in certain ways, emotionally, mentally, perhaps physically, right? So what does it mean for them to grieve the loss of opportunities? And is that grieving one time, or is there new grief every time there is a new opportunity that peers, siblings, or others move on to that this individual does not move on to? All right, so just noticing that what you might be doing is coaching a child through grief or walking with them as their parents grieve the loss of opportunities that they may not even be aware that others have. And it might be just an interesting balance of knowing what the child wants to do and what the child can do as they grow, and helping to be realistic, but engaging with reality and not getting stuck in a victim mentality of this has happened to me and that's all that ever will happen to me, but also not getting an aggressive tone and saying, we will beat this, we will change the world, we can change this disability. That may not always be true, and it may not always be helpful. It can be more helpful to engage the reality of what is while trusting God to use it for good. And what does that look like? Let's explore that together, right? Which is why I believe that our lament always ends in hope. Because no matter what that dry, cracked earth that has been missing the rain for so long looks like at the moment, we know that God, who has planted a seed, can grow it in each one of us, right? He is working all things for our good, and we know that He has plans to prosper each one with the gifts that He has planted in them. So watch what He does to grow this seed, no matter what the soil looks like, if I can use that metaphor. Think about the greens of this puzzle piece with this child, and that God has placed their puzzle piece with your puzzle piece on purpose. How can you receive from their greens while also supporting their pinks? What pinks might you admit that they could support you in, right? And just allowing for an interdependent community to grow together. So as a child ages, the needs for support can change. And I would encourage you to make sure that children, for the most part, are with their peers. So just because a child's developmental age or perhaps their cognitive abilities stay lower, I would not recommend that you keep them with younger children. Their bodies are still getting bigger. Their expectations and their energy are getting bigger along with their peers. And so I think it is far more helpful to help them understand as much as they can about themselves and their peers, and to help their peers understand about themselves and this individual and the way that God has put those puzzle pieces together, and watch the relationships grow as God intends them to, into eternal relationships that build His kingdom, and to see how the differences can actually support one another. And as you notice changes and differences, think about this child growing into new experiences. And here are a couple of the things that I mean. So, meaningful employment, right? As we think about children growing into their teenage years, their chores and things taking on more responsibility, and again, thinking about some of those being outside of the home, maybe earning some money, and other children perhaps not as able to do that. But what does meaningful employment look like for this child? I encourage you to check out some of the resources about this in the resource section of this mini course, because it is important for each one of us to allow to say to God, I serve you, what can I do? And to utilize again those areas of gifting and strength for meaningful employment, whether that is paid or unpaid, that fills something in each one of us that we need filled. So I encourage you to disciple children into discovering their gifts and discovering the opportunities that they do have to engage in meaningful activity that blesses their community and does some good. Again, that thinking about how to be restorers in this world, right? And meaningful employment, I think, is an important piece that God has designed us to do, no matter what areas of gifting and strength and areas of challenge He has placed in each one of us. And thinking about the church. And so let's think about our opportunities within the church. You'll notice in the resources I listed something specifically about communion and receiving the Lord's Supper and that idea of our confession of faith. And what does that look like for an individual as they grow in their faith and their understanding of their relationship with the Lord as their Savior and not just the Savior of their parents and their teachers and those who are discipling them? What does that look like for them as they grow? So So think about that with me, if you will. Think about Bible study opportunities. What does it look like for this individual as they grow up to grow from the children's ministry and the youth ministry opportunities into more adult Bible study options? So notice the links that I've put in there for you to learn about things like the Together curriculum that is designed with many different options so that it appeals to and is engaging for people with varied abilities at varied ages. And I can tell you that it especially even works well with persons who are aging and have dementia. So truly can bridge the gap through a wide variety of ages and stages and abilities. And again, look into the Disability Smart full course for some more insights about things like that. The final piece I just want to mention here as we wrap up is this idea of belonging. And I've listed some resources in the links as well for this, because truly this is the place that the church has. We can be a space of belonging for people with varied abilities. So these neurodiverse children, what do they need? Do they need some support in order to thrive in their environment? Do they need some help reading scripture? Do they need some help engaging in community? Perhaps. But what is their greatest need? Belonging. I encourage you to keep that in mind, that each one of us seeks to belong, and God is the place of belonging. So as you disciple these neurodiverse children, thinking about as they grow and change, how do they still belong in community? Meaningfully engaged in activities, meaningfully engaged in relationships, meaningfully engaged in serving within the church, because this is their kingdom family. So thank you so much for going on this journey with me, thinking about discipling neurodiverse children. I welcome your feedback, your questions, your thoughts on this mini course. I'm excited to see the forum bursting with your comments and feedback and questions. And I also welcome you to email me, vwhite@allbelong.org, to find out more about what it means to build belonging with people with varied abilities in all of the diversity that God has brought to our communities. Thank you.